Join Aubrey Masango, evenings on 702.
Karen Bourne is a News 24 journalist and she joins me this evening. Karen, so great to have this conversation with you and great to talk to you again. Are you well?
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. So we heard that there was a roundtable discussion with Shamila Batoy, the head of the NPA, and some questions were asked. And it's a question that I think many people might have asked. Why is it that we haven't seen the expeditious, living out of the recommendations, many of which came out of the Zondo Commission? We seem to be feeling like, you know, this whole NPA resetting to the rule of law thing has sort of died out. Was that the sense of the conversation with this roundtable conversation?
Well, I mean, I think it was somewhat unfortunate that it didn't get more play than it's got. You know, there weren't like a lot of journalists at that press conference. One of your EWN colleagues, Bernadette Wicks, was there. Mm. But widely, it was at 9:30 in the morning. And I think more people should have been there because I think there are a lot of questions that people wanted answers for. And I think it is important that the NPA has realized this need for engagement because I think there is understandable public frustration. But one of the things that we can't fail to address, which wasn't really addressed by the state capture inquiry because they had such an overwhelming weight of information that they needed to interrogate. And that was because, of course, former President Jacob Zuma widened those terms of reference to the extent that it did beyond the parameters of just his relationship with the Guptas and what happened at Eskom into this giant amorphous heffalump of an investigation into corruption in South Africa. And so the investigation of what had happened at, you know, the NPA, which was fundamentally a site of capture, didn't really, you know, wasn't one of the things that Zondo necessarily, you know, fundamentally interrogated. There were witnesses about that. But you and I will both remember, I mean, it's bizarre to think about it, but at one stage, remember when Sean Abrams wanted to prosecute Pravin Gordhan over the SARS Rogue Unit matter when, you know, there was a statement that exonerated, over the SARS Rogue Unit, over the retirement fund issue, when there was a statement that exonerated him. Glynis Breytenbach was put on trial and acquitted. Anwar Dramat was put on trial. Robert McBride was put on trial. And this is just a few years ago. I mean, we were literally, as a SARS Rogue Unit, you know, so-called SARS Rogue Unit people who, you know, were all subsequently vindicated were also put on trial. So it became very apparent that I think there was a common perception rooted in the fact that, you know, this was a site where political scores were being settled. And, you know, unfortunately, I mean, there has been some movement. You know, the NPA hasn't really been able to address how and why that happened and, you know, deal with some of the individuals. I mean, I know that, for instance, Johan Boysen complains about this a lot because he was subjected to a racketeering case that fell apart where there were findings made of potential prosecutorial involvement in perjury. You know, Nongoba Jiba was prosecuted over that, but that, of course, was dropped.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very dense history of the use of prosecution for political tools. And of course, Jacob Zuma was saying that in 2005, ironically enough, it was under his tenure that alleged use of a prosecution to settle political scores really, I would say, reached its zenith. And it's tainted the NPA ever since.
Are we to understand what you've just said now, that the NPA itself is going through a crisis of legitimacy, as it were, because of such allegations? What has happened to the issue of capacity, for example? And I'm thinking about issues of cases where the NPA has been found wanting. The asbestos case, Marcela Koko story, where they've been found wanting. You know, they've just not showed up. Which is it? Or is it a combination of all of those things? The legitimacy issue, the incompetency issue, the lack of capacity issue?
Well, look, on the asbestos case, all the delays that have been caused there have been caused by Ace Magashule and his co-accused attacking the case preemptively, which is really part of that Jacob Zuma-Stalingrad strategy, which unfortunately has been able to get a grip in our courts and stop trials from starting. And I think, you know, Shamita Batoy spoke about that, it has to get addressed. On the Machela Koko ABB Eskom case, that was a situation, and you know, I directly asked the NPA about this, Shamita Batoy, Andrea Johnson, about it. You know, there of course was information that came out that the magistrate had financial dealings with Eskom to the tune of over 14 million rand and could have been arguably said to be conflicted. So his decision to strike that case off the roll and then demand that Shamila Batoy, you know, properly interrogate the case before it's reinstated, you know, she said, the NDPP said, you know, that that was the harshest kind of decision that could have been made. And there was this kind of underlying criticism of Jacobs and his potential conflict. But outside of that, which I think fundamentally needs to be investigated and should be, the fact of the matter is the case was struck because a huge amount of data was sealed from was seized from Machela Koko and his family members. There was 19 different devices. We're talking about massive amounts of data. And it took something like a year for the NPA to secure the services of a data analyst and also a forensic auditor. And, you know, I don't understand. I mean, a lot of people will say, why are you not doing that before you charge the person?
Yes.
And we've seen this again and again. We've even seen it, you know, in terms of the Mapisa Nkakula situation where she's subjected to a search and seizure raid, you know, documents are seized, which might be the subject of a forensic investigation, a few days before she's charged. So, I mean, I think, you know, the NPA will say, well, we have our ways of doing things. But in the Koko case, you know, that information had to be interrogated by, I think it was Bowman's attorneys, and this report wasn't finalized. And this was a year, nearly a year after those accused had first been charged. And the magistrate may have made a very harsh decision, and there may be a very rightful sense of suspicion over the apparent conflict that he has. But the fact of the matter is this very important flow of funds issue, which is pivotal to the case, had apparently not been done prior to the case being lodged and those people being arrested and charged.
What's your interpretation of that? Is that incompetency? Is that lack of capacity? Or, as some have suggested, Karen, that it's deliberate scuppering of cases because of other agendas?
I mean, I never impute to malice that which can be explained by incompetence. But I think as South Africans, we started having a sense of a kind of malicious incompetence.
Yes.
Where things are being done to send the right message, but the proper follow-through that needs to happen isn't happening. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, I said in the New Lane prosecution, the NPA is seeking, has been given the right to argue its leave to appeal application at the SEA. It hasn't been granted, you know, leave to appeal necessarily. But, you know, the state has very much come, you know, attacked the Bloemfontein High Court, you know, acting judge Nompumelelo Gusha over her ruling, where she described the case as a comedy, the investigation as a comedy of errors. I don't know that her, you know, Shamita Batoy was yesterday describing her language as extremely harsh. I sat in that case, Aubrey, and I was quite appalled by, for instance, the fact that the state hadn't done the most basic data verification. That, you know, they had got all these documents that they built the case around, and they knew there was going to be an attack on their authenticity, but they didn't do things like seize those documents from the hard drive, mirror the hard drive, get forensic experts in to say this is definitively the document, and literally like was a gift to those defense attorneys, and they walked straight through that door. And, you know, those are basic things. I mean, one of the investigating officers had to be retrieved from God knows where to come and testify. And he happily informed the court that, you know, he had just taken the documents out of an envelope, that, you know, there was no sense of a chain of evidence, chain of custody, nothing. These are basic, basic, basic things. And then you get the financial analyst in to talk about the money flows in regard to the Guptas, because of course that was the case that Atul and Rajesh Gupta were facing in terms of the alleged siphoning of this money from this you know, alleged sort of tender, fraudulent tender situation with New Lane. And the financial analysts concede that, in fact, you know, there was no, you know, they basically folded under cross-examination in terms of, you know, would this amount to money laundering? And, you know, the fact is, Aubrey, people, you know, who are accused of these kind of crimes are very often very, very well resourced, and they're going to have damn good attorneys. And if you don't have people there who absolutely know their story and can withstand that cross-examination, you are going to have the kind of Newlane horror show that we saw unfold in that court. We may see, I mean, the NPA was very optimistic, and they seem to think that they will persuade the SCA. Let's see. But having sat in that trial, I mean, I may have to be forced to eat my words, you know, in however long, but I would be very surprised if that happened, honestly.
It sounded, just from the clips that I saw and so forth, that there was a tone of disenchantment from Shamila Batoy for the Chief Justice Zondo. Did I read it correctly? Did I read it incorrectly?
No, I don't. I think, you know, there was a question around access to the Zondo, all the Zondo archives, all the Zondo files, because obviously there's a huge amount of information there. And the NPA doesn't have full access to it. But the reality is, as we saw with Koko, is that they actually don't have the capacity to deal with that evidence. So I think I think we're in a situation, like, think about it like this. You know, the Zondo inquiry was essentially like our entire body politic as a country literally getting opened. It's riddled with cancer. Like, we know, like, things are busy dying inside of us. And, you know, then you have this situation where you need to do something about it. You need to start treating it. And I think that's how we identified as South Africans, is like prosecution, the idea of visibly seeing people face justice, face the evidence, get convicted, get jail sentences, is our sense of we are being treated. We're getting better. We're not sick with this corruption that keeps killing our young democracy over and over again. But, you know, it kind of got handed over to the NPA, and, you know, instead of being provided with surgical implements, they literally have a pair of tweezers and some Band-Aids and nothing else. And I think that, that as a consequence, we feel that sickness even more, and we feel it most profoundly when you can't get the Guptas extradited, and you know, they'll blame the UAE for that, and there's obviously political tension. You can't get you can't even convince the court that you have enough evidence to justify a defense in Newlane, and Machela Koko has the case struck in the way that it was in that Eskom case. I mean, they may be isolated incidents, and the NPA says, yeah, we have these successes and whatever, but you need a visible success in a case where South Africans know the story and they actually feel like justice is being done.
Tell me about what Shamila Batoy says and how she characterizes some of these concerns. Does she consider them a matter of incompetence? Does she consider them a matter of capacity? What is her understanding of what causes so much frustration amongst South Africans?
You know, the thing is, you know, she actually addressed it. I mean, it's basically some 5 years since she's been in office. And I didn't actually realize it, but it's a half a decade. 5 years.
A long time.
And and remember when she came in, Aubrey, you'll remember, she said, the days of impunity are over. And, you know, I think that, you know, Shamila Batoy, she obviously worked at the ICC. She's very aware of the politics. And she's very good at giving rousing speeches. But, and you know, and I don't think anyone in their right mind would want that job, honestly. I mean, it's a broken organization. It was hollowed out. The best people left. It was a site of capture. You can never do anything right. The public are always going to criticize you and. But I think also the South African public, you must understand that if you keep saying, if you come into office and say the days of impunity are over, and 5 years later, you haven't got a single state capture conviction. That's a problem. And I think she, you know, I actually put it to her, said, listen, I understand your frustration with the judge in Ulane. I don't necessarily agree with it. You know, there's obviously severe question marks over what happened with Corkel because of that magistrate's conflict. But there are issues here that need to be addressed. And she said, yeah, she is aware of the capacity constraints and, you know, they have been addressed and they are doing all of these things. But, you know, until such time as we see convictions, as we see people getting sustained and sentences and, you know, people having their assets seized and that money coming back into the state and a kind of a country's culture shifting because people think, oh my God, you know, I could actually go to jail for this. I don't think the NPA, the rhetoric is going to help South Africans deal with their sense of frustration. Because, you know, and I think that the NPA is starting to be aware of that. But I don't know if they're as aware as maybe they should be.
As we close, some people are going to say that, and I love the term you used, malicious incompetence.
Yeah.
That we are faced here with an organization that is maliciously incompetent. And the reason for that, some may argue, is because some of the most powerful people in this country are themselves candidates for real investigation and possible jail time. And I'm gonna say it. I mean, the Palapala issue continues to be one that is unresolved in many people's minds. And I know that people are gonna say, oh, but this group said he's vindicated that. That body said he's vindicated, but in the psyche of many South Africans, that issue hasn't been properly excavated and it hasn't been resolved.
Not at all.
And we are waiting for the Hawks to actually give us a real investigative report and what the NPA is going to do. Some people are arguing, as we started off in this conversation, to say, yeah, this is malicious incompetence, to keep it incompetent so that some of the most powerful people in this country never see justice.
I think that is a very valid concern. And, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, even before, you know, like at the genesis of, for instance, the Jacob Zuma prosecution, you know, the fact of the matter, and Jacob Zuma himself has said that he should have been charged with Shabir Sheikh. Why wasn't he?
Yeah.
How do you put someone on trial for corrupting someone else and he's not there? And I agree with him. That was a huge problem. I mean, Billy Downer at the time said, I don't agree with this. And I think one of the other prosecutors actually resigned over it. She left, you know, who was in the original team. And I think that, you know, that sort of, you know, and we saw it again. You know, I mean, former President Thabo Mbeki has been involved in somewhat of a slanging match with me over, you know, the evidence that suggested that members of his administration, Bridget Mabandla and others, were involved in the interference in the apartheid era prosecutions, the TRC cases, because there was huge anxiety to evidence in the court papers disclosed by Busi Pekoli that ANC ministers, ANC members were terrified that they may themselves face prosecution for certain incidents that occurred during apartheid. And that fear of accountability that, you know, started in the TRC, where you had, you know, you had evidence that people like F.W. de Klerk were on the State Security Council where they were discussing the permanent removal from society of the Cradock Four in 1985, 13 days before they butchered. And no one, we never saw a single apartheid minister ever getting held accountable. Instead, we saw F.W. de Klerk, oh, I didn't know. That spirit of impunity started in the genesis of like the TRC. And, you know, it's not for nothing, for instance, that you saw, you know, this instead of money that should have been allocated for reparations for TRC victims making its way to those victims, it was spent on what? The arms deal, for which Jacob Zuma has yet to be prosecuted. So we cannot, as a country, move forward until we deal with that spirit of that thing of impunity. And there are valid questions about Palapala. How, in God's name, do you get $580,000 in your house paid by a random man who happens to visit on Christmas Day and just drops a bag full of cash any normal person would go.
Lots of questions, absolutely.
Lots of questions. And then you also have a public protector investigation who says the police were involved in an unlawful attempt to investigate what happened there. Not a single one of the people who are identified as involved are charged. There's no charges laid. And that case only comes about after, you know, it's disclosed by Arthur Fraser, who is a controversial figure, but the case should have been reported right at the beginning, and it wasn't. And there are valid questions about that. But the fact of the matter is that the sustained project of hollowing out, not just, you know, destroying the scorpions, undoing the scorpions, because they're too good. They're too good at what they do. The sustained project of getting rid of people like Linus Breitenbach, Gary Nell, and others, targeting people who actually do the right thing, firing them, destroying people's careers. The use of the hawks as a mechanism of political revenge on everyone from SAA pilots to Pravin Gordhan. We now have a scenario where, when we're the most desperate for accountability, where we have a high-level political figure who has clearly been implicated in something highly questionable, we don't have the ability to properly investigate it. And that's one of the biggest issues that we as a country will continue to face.
Do you think that we are anywhere near the resetting of South Africa's relationship with justice and the rule of law, given what you and I have just discussed?
I think there are a lot of really good people, and I've seen that. I've seen that in the courts. I've seen that in the justice system. I've seen that amongst the police. But the fact of the matter is that we are allergic to accountability. And until such time as we get leadership and government that actually cares more about the country than they do about themselves, we're going to see this cycle repeated. Because guess what? Politicians are not the same as leaders. We need leaders. We don't need politicians.
Karen Morn, great talking to you, and thank you very much for joining me. Listen, and I love the redhead.
Thank you so much, Orby.
Karen Morn, News 24 journalist.